may or may not be what you have in front of you. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20 of God's Word this evening. Let us hear God's Word. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Amen. As we think about the different people that are involved in the events of the Nativity and the coming of Christ into this world, and no children's performance of the Nativity would be complete without the presence of the little kids in their dad's bathrobe pretending to be shepherds, and they're the ones to whom are given the announcement. And the question that I want to have you think about for a moment this evening is, why in the world did it come to them at all? Why not to priests or to kings or to those in authority? Why not to the prominent men, the magistrate perhaps of Bethlehem? Why in the world did it come to shepherds? Because the character of shepherds was, at the time of the New Testament, was in great question. In fact, the reputation of shepherds kind of had an ebb and flow as you see it throughout Scripture and over the years. It began at the time of the New Testament. They were the lowest rung of human society. They're numbered along with tax collectors and those who shoveled manure. There were shepherds in that kind of class. It wasn't always the case. The reputation of shepherds at the beginning wasn't bad. In the very one of the earliest genealogies in Genesis chapter 4, it talks about Jabal, who was called the father of those living in tents and raising livestock. And the people of Israel were, for many, many centuries, nomadic people. And in all nomadic societies, whether you were the sheik or the ruler of that society or the lowest, poorest person there, you were a shepherd. And you were caring for flocks or goats or some animal in the field. And so it was a common and respected trade at that time. The sons of Isaac and Jacob, they tended flocks. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he was a shepherd. He had his daughters, he didn't have any sons. He had his daughters out shepherding the sheep. And So at that period of time, the role of the shepherd was, it was okay. It was a respected, hardworking job in society. But when the people of Israel migrated into Egypt, they encountered a real hostility against shepherds. And that's because the Egyptians, by and large, in the common occupations, they were farmers. And farmers didn't think too much of shepherds. In fact, Joseph had told his brothers, all shepherds are detestable to Egyptians. And it's kind of interesting to think about the conflict that naturally rose between farmers and shepherds. The farmers would have seen the shepherds and their flocks or their goats as threats to their trade, their crops. And it's also interesting to think back, the very first murder ever recorded in all of Scripture is a murder between a farmer and a shepherd. The farmer hated the shepherd, it was his brother, but he hated the shepherd so much he killed him. There has been kind of a conflict between shepherds and the Egyptians hated them. Their neighboring nations, the Arabs, were shepherds and they didn't get along with them. And one of their ignoble aspects of their history was when shepherd kings took over Lower Egypt. And so the people of Israel go to Egypt and they're around these people that have a very great disdain for shepherds. And over the course of four centuries, as the people of Israel are there, they begin to lose their appreciation for the role of shepherds. One person suggests that when they did finally settle in Canaan, the tribes that had the greatest interest in shepherding settled across the Jordan, and that those settling in the nation got settled in towns and became more involved in farming, and shepherding became more of a menial job for the lower class of people in the nation. It didn't change until about 1000 B.C. when David became king. And God took him as a shepherd and raised him to the highest level in the land. And so for a period of time, the role of shepherds became a little more appreciated and a little more prominent in society. But then we move into the time of the prophets, and that appreciation for them declines. And a couple of the different prophets talk about God's judgment on the nation, that when it falls on them, they're going to be just like those places where the shepherds dwell and the sheep pens are, and it stinks, and it's not quite as bad as raising pigs, but it's not much higher than that. Well, by the time of the New Testament, the low stature of shepherds is pretty confirmed. One New Testament scholar says that the shepherds were despised in everyday life. They were considered second class, untrustworthy. Sometimes earned their poor reputations. Other times they were just stereotyped into being lousy people, whether they weren't or were or weren't. The religious leaders maligned the shepherds. The rabbis banned the pasturing of sheep and goats anywhere except far away, out of town. Couldn't be around. The Jewish written record, the Mishnah, refers to shepherds in very belittling terms. It calls them incompetent. It says that no one should feel obligated to rescue a shepherd if he's fallen into a pit. So it's not very appreciated role in the society. Another writer says shepherds were deprived of their civil rights. They couldn't hold judicial offices. They couldn't even be admitted as witnesses in court, because nobody trusted them. They said, don't buy something from a shepherd, because they assumed it was stolen property. And so at the time when Christ came, it was a great scandal that the psalm that you probably love more than any other psalm, Psalm 23, should be in the Bible. And that David should have been a shepherd, it was a scandal to them. How in the world could that be the case when shepherds were these menial, wicked, despised people? And yet it was to the shepherds that the announcement of God the Father came. And it's significant that it came to them. Because Jesus, as Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to at all costs, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made an appearance as a man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Not only did he become man, but he submitted himself to the most humiliating and degrading death that man at that time had invented. And so it's significant and interesting that even from his very birth, Jesus walked among the lowly. It was to the shepherds. We parents send out birth announcements when they have a baby and send out, it's a boy. And what God the Father was doing through the message of the angel that night was saying to the shepherds, it's a boy. It's the birth announcement. And not only that, it's the Messiah. And Jesus in his very life, when he was criticized for mingling with publicans and sinners, Jesus said, it's not the righteous that I've come to call, but it's sinners that I've come to call. I came not to be served, he said, but to serve. And to give my life as a ransom for many. And he himself took on the label of shepherd. In John chapter 10, as Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says to them, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Later on, other biblical writers will refer to him as the great shepherd and as the chief shepherd. And so there's no other illustration of how tenderly God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit interact with you and me as the fact that he took upon himself this role of shepherd. In the New Testament times, the word bishop and the word shepherd kind of get commingled. And what that word communicates is the role Jesus took where he comes and visits. It's more than a title, it's a role. And the role that he performs is where he comes and he visits his people. You see, that's what Christ does for you. In your weakness and in your sin, in your suffering, and the difficulties you face, Jesus Christ is your good shepherd. He's your chief shepherd. And he comes and he visits his people. And you and I, as we meditate and think about his arrival, we need to think about how Jesus went not to the rich and the elite. He chose to herald the Messiah's birth to the humble and the lowly. Mary herself said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And the question I put to you as we think about that is, can you voice those words? Do you understand how desperately you needed him? Can you say with Mary, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant? That I needed him more than anything else. And he came to lift me up, to restore me. There's a song that we sometimes sing at this time of year. The first line of the first verse is, "Thou dost reign on high with the kingly crown." But the second stanza of it is, "Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal degree. But of lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee." May you and I, by faith, embrace this one who came to those who humble themselves before him. And he comes with the promise that he will lift you up and bring you to God. May you embrace and love him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are so very grateful for the wonder of Jesus' birth and the wonder of his great humility, and how he has come both in a humble manner to suffer a degrading death, that he comes to meet the needs of each of us here in our humble state, in our needy state. There is no need here so great that he does not enter into and meet by his grace. May we, O Lord, love him and see him and glorify him in our hearts and embrace him by faith with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To the glory of your wonderful name, we pray this. Amen.